Acts chapter 8. Let's read verse 26. Somebody say the power of questions. All right, let's read 26 to 29, everybody. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from where? Gaza. From Gaza to what? Jerusalem. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man has gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Verse 31, quickly. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. 31. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Because of time, I'm just going to zoom straight into the story. Now, something very interesting was happening here. For those of you who have followed this teaching for some time, a great revival, great awakening happening in Samaria. And Philip is the lead pastor leading that great revival. In the middle of the revival, the Spirit of the Lord, or an angel of the Lord, comes to him and says, move down, go south, go into the desert. And I said, this doesn't make sense logically. And oftentimes when we walk with God, I'll be rushing a bit because of time. When we walk with God, God takes us through tours and detours and meanderings. And sometimes, if you are not accustomed to the ways of God, you get frustrated, you get confused because you don't understand God. All right? But here we are. God moves him straight into the desert. And may I suggest to you that most of us, or some of us, as I'm even speaking, are in your desert place. And you are frustrated and confused because you don't know why God has brought you to this point. What is interesting is that if you look at the scripture very carefully, he said, go down. So it means that the guy was up and sometimes God moves us from the top to the down. And why is it so? Because that is the only way God can get our attention and speak to us. Sometimes when the business is booming, when God speaks, you will not hear. All right. When things are all right, you are too preoccupied with what is happening that you don't pause to listen to God. So sometimes God moves you to a desert place where he can redirect your course and show you what to do. And I speak that anyone here who is in the desert receive a revelation from God. May you hear the voice of God and know exactly what to do. Put your hands together for the Lord. All right, so now the guy gets into the desert, and the only word he hears, there's nobody there. He's walking there, he's confused. Suddenly, he sees a man driving in a chariot coming, and God says, go near to this chariot. Go near and stay by this chariot. Full stop. God has finished speaking. But hey, God says, go near the chariot, and God doesn't speak again. That's where my interest is today. So the guy goes near to the chariot, and the rest is up to him to do. You see, there's a point to which God will guide you, and there's a point you must use your sense, your common sense, to act and move on from there. Am I speaking to somebody here? Now, people who want God to tell them everything, including the shirt they wear for an interview, and even mention the name of the woman I have to marry to me. God oftentimes does not. He will take you near to the woman. You have open your mouth and open your eyes and propose. That one is yours to do. Amen. Lift your hand and say, there's a part God plays, and there's a part I must play in order to succeed in my life. Don't put everything at the doorstep of God. The Spirit said, go near the chariot. Finished.
The spirit didn't speak again. Now, this man has to use wisdom, and the first thing he did is to ask a question. Verse 30. Look at 30. So he sees the man riding, and then he begins to question him. Do you understand what you are reading? Do you? It begins with a question. Listen, to achieve great things in this life and to become successful, oftentimes you must begin with a question. Question yourself. Ask questions about life. This is a very great trait that is being underutilized among men today. All right. This trait of asking questions was given to us by God right at birth. And children are masters at questioning. And ask, Daddy, why? Mommy, why is the car? Why cannot the car spark? How did I come to this world? And you see father shaking. Daddy, how did I come? I remember one day, Adum and Kezia were watching our wedding video, and they said, Daddy, where am I? Well, if Adum there, he had a cousin was our page boy, so he thought he was the one. But Kezia couldn't see herself there. Say, where am I? Why didn't you take me to the wedding? I said, Walapo. Are you getting an African father or mother can shout on the clear off. Will not explain what was happening to her. So we told them, at that time you weren't born because we're not getting married. All right. But my point I want to establish is that children like to ask questions. And it's a great trait. Questions make you grow and develop. Questions bring you solutions. And so in life, if you ever want to attain anything great in life, you must learn to ask important questions. It will bring you great answers and great solutions. And there are two types of questions you should be able to ask. Number one, personal questions. I'm cutting my message to half because of time. Personal questions. There are questions you are in the desert, you are seeing nobody, you must ask yourself. Ask yourself some personal questions and give yourself answers. For instance, you should be able to ask yourself, why am I here at this point? How did I get here? Why am I poor? Why am I broke? Why are things not working? Ask yourself, how did I get here? Where am I now? What's the stage of my life? What should I be doing now? Ask yourself that question all the time. It will provoke great answers and it will lift you to your next level. How did I get here? What's the stage of my life? What should I be focusing on and prioritizing now in my life? Number two, how can I get better at what I am doing? How can I move from this level and improve and become a better person at what I'm doing? Whether you're a businessman or whatever you are doing, you should be able to ask these two relevant questions. How did I get here? Some of you, how did I get into this marriage? By your own mistakes. How did I get into this bad business deal? Because you didn't listen to God. You must answer that question sincerely. And then the second question, how will I get out of this rut and become a better person? And when you ask these questions, they will provoke great answers. And by the time you are aware, you are up from that level to a better level. Put your hands together for the Lord. Very important. You always ask yourself, what stage am I? What should I be emphasizing on? At this stage of my life and my ministry, there are things I'm beginning to consider because I realize that I don't have all the time on my side and there are things I need to focus on and things I should stop doing. Very important. You should be asking yourself that question all the time. What is the season that I'm in? And how can I improve and get better? How can this church get better? So this is very, very relevant. The other thing is to ask others questions. You know, before I go to asking others, I'm told, I think I've shared this severally. Isaac Newton was sitting under a tree. The apple fell on his head and he began to think, How come the apple did not go up? How come it didn't suspend? How come it came down? There must be a reason. There must be a force that brought it down. And that is what led to the law of what? Gravity. Somebody was thinking. Somebody was reflecting and asking questions. The second is to ask other people questions. All right? Other people questions. And doctors do that. When you go to a doctor, he just doesn't start applying. He stops and says, how are you feeling? What's wrong with you? Tell me. Do you go to stool? He's listening. He's asking questions. By asking questions, he can say that you have pneumonia. You have diarrhea. He asks questions. Businessmen, salesmen, pastors, counselors, they all will have to ask questions to elicit information that will help them help other people better. So the second stage is to learn to ask other people questions. Very important. You are going out. You want to marry somebody. Ask questions. Don't use all the time, I like your shoe and your hair is nice. I like your dress. All those useless comments. Ask questions. You see, when you ask people questions, you are able to decipher who they are. You are able to tell because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My wife will tell you when I met her, I used to ask off-the-cuff questions in the middle of some funny things. I'll just throw in a question. I'm trying to see who she is and what she believes in and what her values are in life. She often asks me, you ask out of the blue questions. Yes, it was deliberate. I wanted to know who I'm going to live the rest of my life with and what she stands for and what she believes. So you don't use your courtship period just for ask prying questions. Throw it at the person. Let the person come out with his genuine answer. And oftentimes when it comes out of the cup, the person will bring out what is really inside of her or inside of him. Then you know the person you are going out with. Hallelujah. Check through the Bible. Every great achievement and every great revival began with a question. Can I say that again? Every great question, every great revival, and every great what? Achievement began. In fact, most of it began with a question. I want to give you a few of them. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. Quickly. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. Or verse 2 and 3. Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that has survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Oh, great information. That brought a great burden on Nehemiah, and that led to one of the fastest developed projects in the whole of the world. 52 days, a whole city's wall was built because somebody dared to question what was happening. Question. Why is my ministry not growing? Why is the marriage not working? Why is this thing not happening? Why is my finance not growing? Why? What is happening? When you ask questions, you provoke answers. Especially when you ask quality questions. All right. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 3. This is Moses. We've shared this before, but let me retrace it. Exodus 3:3. Let's see how Moses began the greatest deliverance of all time. Began with a question. Hey, where's Exodus? I should continue? Right. Okay. In Exodus, we are told that Moses saw the burning bush, all right? He saw the burning bush, and he said, let me go near and ask, why is the bush not burning? Yeah. You remember that? Why is the bush not burning? And when he drew near, verse 4 says, God began to speak to him. He said, I'm going to send you, have a message for you, have a work for you, go out there and do. But it started with being curious and asking questions. I could go to Esther when Mordecai told him, don't think that if you keep quiet at this time, relief will come from other places. But you and your father's house will not be a part of it. Esther rose up with that question and began the greatest deliverance of God's people from Shushan. I could go on and on and on and on about the power of questions leading to great results. Elijah will say, how long will you oscillate between good and bad, between God and mammon? If God is God, let's worship him. If Baal is Baal, let's worship him. And from there led to the great revival of Elijah. I could go on with questions. In fact, the first time we see Jesus in operation, he was questioning. He was sitting among the doctors of the law, asking them questions. All right, Jesus, the first appearance of Jesus, Luke chapter 2, 46, 47, he was asking the experts. Think about it. Jesus, the Savior of the world, was sitting down and asking questions. It provoked you to think, to know what is happening in the society around, and then it provokes you into action. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I've come to provoke you that learn to be a questioner. Don't drop that childhood trait. It's a genius God has given to us. Question things. Sometimes when we see our children behaving in a certain way, you must be able to tell, my daughter is changing. My son is changing. Something is happening. She didn't used to be like this. Question it. And when you do, you get knowledge. You get insight. Sunday when I came from Edun branch, I asked my wife, what did you preach on? She began to share with me what she preached on. She told me, Jochebed, it's called Shifra. I said, wow, I never knew that. I never knew. With all my pan-pan, my wife gave me a revelation that Jochebed is the same person as Shifra. I said, wow, that's powerful. I gained insight by asking. I'm a bishop. I could have said, I won't ask anything. I know the Bible more than her. No. Wise person will listen and add to his wisdom. Put your hands together for the Lord. All right. Now, having said that, look, let me tell you, I'm going to close very soon, but let me show you that even the devil employs this important strategy of questioning. And that is what he used to get many people. Even the devil is an expert in that. Genesis 3:1. Before I go to God and close. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, look at this. His first approach to the woman was a question. Did God really say? This was what got Eve out. Did God? It's a great strategy. Because whatever is inside the person, you cannot, until the person begins to speak, it will come out. It will come out. This is what the devil employed to sway our first parents and get us into trouble. It's a very powerful tool. Never leave it. It's a generous gift. It's a great privilege God has given us to us. How many of you have driven around the place? You are looking for a place. You drive, you don't find. And even GPS is not helping you. And if you humble yourself and stop and ask somebody in the neighborhood, where is this hotel? Where is this house? 2 minutes, you'll be told, and all your problems solved. Ask your neighbor, learn to ask good questions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before I close tonight, there are two questions that God asked humanity in Genesis that I want to leave you with. You should be able to answer this question in your lifetime if you ever want to be blessed and become great in this life. Two crucial questions that God himself asked our first parents. And I believe it's so important, every one of us will have to pause and be able to answer this question. The first one is in Genesis 3:9. Genesis 3:9. This was when, after they had eaten the
the forbidden fruit. They have blown it. The Bible says, in the cool of the day, God began to walk and came, and Adam and Eve hid from the Lord. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? Tell your neighbor, where are you? Very important question. Turn to another person, where are you? No. Don't joke with this question. Positioning your vertical connection. Where are you? How positioned are you in line with God? In alignment? Are you in alignment with God? Where are you? I can tell you for sure that some people are here tonight physically, but their soul and their spirit is not here. Where are you? Where are you? I hear men don't like that question at all. And I hear women like it, Pa. They go, where are you? Where are you? Hey! Now, they are looking for security and protection. Notice that most women are insecure. What a shock. True. Most women are insecure. Where is my husband? Where is he? Where are you? What are you doing? What a shock. Amen. But God said, where are you? Positioning. How are you positioned? May I ask you today, where are you in the light of God? In the light of the, what stage are you in your walk with God? How positioned are you to be able to hear from God, download from God, walk with God, and follow divine instructions? Where are you? Everybody, like I said at the beginning, you must always ask yourself, what season am I in and where am I positioned? Are you connected to heaven? Do you have your antenna ready to hear from heaven divine instruction, or you are hiding from God? Or you are disconnected from God? You know, people can stay in church and go through all the gymnastics, but they are not connected to God. I'm talking about vertical connection here. Where are you? Where are you? In the light of where God wants you to be, where are you? In the light of the prophetic word God has for you, where are you? What is the level? Are you making progress? God is always looking for us, wanting to have a relationship with us, build it upon, and make us what we're born to be. But because of disobedience, most people hide from God. Most people are disconnected from God. Sometimes you see people, when they come to church first, they sit where Deacon Jabo is sitting. After 3 months, they sit at the middle there, especially when the messages get hotter. After 8 months, you see them at the back, and very soon you don't see them again. Because many people are running from God. Many people do not measure themselves in the light of where God wants them to be. And ask yourself, are you there? Are you there? Very important question. It's the first question ever God asks humanity. Where are you? How positioned are you to relate with God? The second question, this is Genesis 3:9. The second important question is Genesis 4:9, interestingly, to me. The second most important question, Genesis 4:9. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? The first one is about vertical connection. The second one is about what? Horizontal connection. Where is your brother? And hear me, many people answer this question badly, just like Cain answered. Most church folks are preoccupied with themselves. First question, yes, they are interested. I need to be where God wants me to be. I need to position myself to hear from God, to be blessed by God. Yes, but the second is equally important. Where's your brother? Where is your brother? And God is asking me and you today, when was the last time you forgot about yourself and looked out for that brother?
looked out for that sister, looked out for the welfare of that sister. Interestingly, all these two questions led to a curse. If you don't answer these two questions carefully, it could lead you into big trouble and a curse. And many people think that it's all about my life. No. The vertical is important, but there is a horizontal. We are created for connections. And we are here to look for each other, to be interested in another. Listen, your blessings actually is attached to how much your brother, your sister also does well. What you do for your brother and sister, it will come back to you in many ways. It's a mystery of life. Your life, your prosperity is not about you. It's about the other person. And church, it's time we forget about ourselves and reach out to the other person. And in this revival we're just talking about in Acts chapter 8, you realize that God had to make a shift from the crowd and send Philip to go and look for one man, the Ethiopian eunuch. One man. Say, that soul is important to me. Get out there and go look for that brother. He needs help. He's reading, he's worship, trying to worship. He can't understand. Will you draw near and help him? This is what ministry is about. Today we have built need-driven churches all around. And it's all about what I've come to get. How about your sister? How about your brother? And I tell you, in Acts chapter 8, God moved a guy from the crowd to go and look for one man. In Acts chapter 9, God moved a man called Ananias to go look for Saul, one man. One man, Saul. In John chapter 4, Jesus moved to Samaria just to talk to one woman. In Acts chapter 10, an angel goes to Peter, to Cornelius, and says, send for Peter and let him come and talk to you, show you the way. This is how important a soul is to God. This is how important a brother is to God. Where is your brother? When we look around, some of the people, they used to be with us midweek service. You no more see them. Have you been stretching out your hand, your visit to them? Now notice that in all these cases, the people were reluctant to go, but God said, go. He's my chosen instrument. Saul is needed. If you bring Saul in, there's going to be a great revival. One man can make a difference. Go. Pray for Saul and bring him in and see what Saul can do. Go talk to that one prostitute and let her turn around, let her leave her jar and see a whole town come to me. One man, one soul. Where is your brother? Where is your brother? People, I know the world is getting busier. I know we are all preoccupied with making it, building our houses, traveling, becoming more famous, more richer. But that's not what life is about. It's about your stand with God, number one, and it's about your brother. If you can answer these two questions carefully, you are ready for God's kind of greatness. God will lift you and continue to bless you when we forget about ourselves and be interested in other people. Whilst we align ourselves with God, we reach out also to people. This is what the whole gospel is about. Read your Bible. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. All the rest of the law hangs on these two. May God help you position yourself properly in alignment with God, whilst you also reach out and lift that brother and leave that sister and bring them in for the end time harvest. God bless you. Show you great grace as you answer these questions.
Thank you for listening to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Ampofo. We believe you've been blessed. For more life-changing messages, please make a date with us on Love FM every Friday morning at 5:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us.